Welcome to another fantastic episode on leveraging generative AI for social media marketing and content creation with our guest and my old friend, Kurt Malley, founder of Black Box Social Media. Kurt's based in Austin and is best known for his Belt Method media buying strategy that's been used by the biggest names in online marketing and e-commerce. Kurt doesn't hold anything back in this episode. We had lots of fun doing it, and like with every interview I do, I learned tons. Now, let's get started. Welcome to Using AI at Work. I'm your host, Chris Daigle. Each week, we'll be learning how today's business owners, entrepreneurs, and ambitious professionals are getting more done with smart use of tomorrow's tech. Let's get started. All right. Let's get started. As I mentioned, our guest today is Kurt Malley, an old friend, a brilliant marketer, and owner of Black Box Social Media. Kurt's up to so many things that I'm going to actually let Kurt introduce himself to the audience before we kind of dive in and geek out.
So, hey, it's good to see everybody here. And it's, or I guess if you're listening, I'm glad that you're being able to listen in. So kind of a little background with me. Daigle, I think we've known each other almost 16 years, could be bridging on 17 years at this point. Now, I know I'm old where I'm talking about two decades. And essentially, many, many years ago, I got into entrepreneurship, a network marketing, real estate investing company. And Daigle came out to one of my very first meetings and you said some supportive information. And you have always invited me to your parties and your functions. You've been so kind to me. I always wanted to make sure. Thank you for having me as a guest. And two, Dr. Daigle, you've changed my life. Thank you for being there for me. And I am super excited to be here. So over the years, and a lot with your support, I've met a lot of my clients through you too, is I about 15, 16 years ago, I started a Facebook ad agency. And I've really been working in the realms of Facebook and Instagram advertising. And then about 10 years ago, I actually got sued by Facebook. I got a cease and desist. Many people know me from, I was the 100th person to get a cease and desist from Facebook. And well, what ended up happening is one of the best things that ever happened to me is I ended up partnering with my younger brother when that happened. And the thing is I didn't do anything wrong, but there's no case precedent around any of this stuff. Well, when I partnered with my brother, he had an advertising agency for now close to 20 years that specialized in radio, TV, billboard, really all the other different channels. So we combined our forces. Well, what happened, Mr. Daigle, is it changed my life because I started to apply a lot more of like breakthrough advertising that was created in 1966. I applied that to my online ads. We won the belt that lots of people know me from. And now what we really focus on is something called ethical propaganda. And, you know, without getting into politics, there was a president that was elected all based around you actually vote more the more angry that you are. That's how we won so many votes. But on the other side, we use ethical propaganda to really influence people online and offline about brands, products, services. And now with AI, I'm doing things I could never, ever do before. And I can't wait to get into the questions. I couldn't even dream about this stuff a year ago. And now I'm actually doing it day in, day out. So, sir, let's get started with some great questions.
Sure. A couple of things that I want everybody to notice is that Kurt said he could not do this 1 year ago. There are, with generative AI and these tools, there's not really any like OGs, right? There's no experts. Most of us
we are just right now. That's what we're doing right now today, right?
Exactly. So if you're just getting started, yes, there's a bit of a learning curve, but start now before the learning curve gets bigger. So that was a great comment, Kurt. Yeah, one of the, we're going to get into the ethical propaganda for sure, because how I got you on this podcast was somebody was referencing that, a mutual friend of ours. Who's, I would certainly say tech forward. And when he mentioned how excited he was about the stuff you were doing, I was, pumped to get you on this podcast. So, before we jump into that, Kurt, one of the questions I want to ask you is that if somebody hasn't gotten started yet with using ChatGPT or Midjourney or any of the tools, really, what would your advice be to them?
So I'm going to tell this in a two-part story. One, I'm going to tell a quick little story, and the second one, I'll give you the tool that I personally like to use. So I have some friends who are in the book writing business. I don't know if you've ever met these guys yet, but somebody I got to introduce you to. They've written hundreds of books. They actually started writing movies because movie scripts can give a much bigger residual. So they're really getting into the big checks. Well, there's two business partners here, and I'm not going to use any names to protect the innocent, but there's two business partners. One business partner, and he's like, you know, AI is interesting. He started to embrace it. He's like, but it can't write like me, but it can help me do research that I could never do before. So if he's writing a book about a submarine in 1942, he could do a whole bunch of research on the Googles or the library. But with AI, he can easily go in and ask some questions and get some very specific information that can make him a better storyteller. So he's really embracing AI. The other guy, it's interesting. I go to lunch with both of these guys at different times at the same restaurant. We're talking about the same thing. They're no longer business partners because the second business partner said, Kurt, I don't believe in this AI. It's a full stop. That's what we're doing in the movie business. I have a talent. Now everyone else is going to catch up to me. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And I looked at him and I said, sir, let me ask you this, because I couldn't do a lot of this stuff a year ago. What happens if you already have a superpower and the AI gives you even more of a superpower? So now your superpower of a superpower is so much bigger than the general public. People aren't catching up. You're already ahead, and this is going to even move you forward as long as you embrace it, what I like to say, ethically. So, Daigle, one of the things that I love to use to answer your question directly is something called Poe.com. Now, Poe.com is an aggregate for all of these different types of AIs. You can make images. You can have different AIs you engage with. So let me give you an example. Let's say that I want to do research on a certain topic, or we can talk about marketing, whatever. But let's say I want to do research. So let's just say I want to, hey, help me create 10 headlines for this type of website. I'm going to go to Poe.com, and I'm going to ask ChatGPT-4 this question. But Poe.com for me is like a mastermind of smart AIs. Now I'm going to copy and paste that same question to Google. I'm going to ask Google AI's Palm, same question. I'm going to ask Meta's AI, which is Llama, the same question. And there's about five or six different AIs that I'm going to ask a question. So now, you know what they talk about being this, you don't want to be the smartest person in the room, right? Yeah. Well, what I use Poe for is all these different algorithms are super smart. Now I get to choose from the best answer. So before I would have to research and figure out in my own brain what the best answer was. Now I can ask a question to five different AIs, get five different answers, look at all the answers and say, which one's the best? I know somebody in our group of friends that created an entire conversion rate optimization business by asking AI, give me 10 things I can do to improve on the website. They would take the top two suggestions, give those to the client, and then essentially they would make a claim that they could double their business. They would take their conversions and double them and then double them again by using AI. Hey, give me the top 10, just taking the two best, running with that, asking AI again, give me the 10 best options. So Poe.com is a great place to ask a mastermind of AIs the same question so you have better options to choose from.
Before we go on to another tool, I want to ask you about Poe. With the output, have you noticed that certain models have better output for reasoning versus creativity versus this sort of thing?
Yeah. So for example, one of the things that this is just kind of my personal bias for what I use it for. So I like to use Meta Llama to help me out to discover additional interest inside of Meta that I can target to. But it's not really very good with headlines. But I'm still going to ask it headline questions because I may say out of the top 10, you know, give me 10 headlines for this suggestion from this website. And I'm going to ask all the different AIs. Now, I like the updated, at the time of this recording, I like the latest updated Claude. It reads the most. It gives me some of the best outputs. But sometimes if this makes sense, even a bad output by like Gemini, for example, I might ask for 10 different headline suggestions. Gemini might not get very good headlines, but out of the 10, there might be one that's absolutely brilliant. So it's still worthwhile asking the same question. So I know there's certain AIs I use for research, certain AIs I use for marketing, but truth be told, a lot of times I ask the same question across all of the AIs. And then once I start getting the answers that I'm really kind of like a mastermind where you're kind of grooving with this one person or vibing, I guess the kids say today, then I'm going to go down that rabbit hole just a little bit more. But it's kind of like I open up the conversation with everyone where I want to dive in deeper. I kind of dive in just a little bit deeper.
Very cool. So is Poe kind of your default chat environment that you're working with?
Mr. Daigle, you have a really great question, sir. So one of the first things, one of the first things that I like to do is I like to go into ChatGPT-4 and I like to just kind of dump my stuff right on in. Now, something that I do, and I know a lot of people are doing this, is I want to make sure I'm writing in my own tone, right? Not the dwell into the conversation. Nobody says dwell, right? What I want to be able to do is I want to take like a longer form video. So I have like 20 or 30 minute long videos that I'll take the entire transcript of. This makes it easier to put into Claude. And I can say, hey, give me 5 headline suggestions and 5 long form Facebook posts written in the tone of the speaker of the transcript down below. So I use Claude because it could put in a whole bunch of information and really hone in on that voice. What I also do is I'm not going to be able to use as long of prompts over inside of Poe. But again, I kind of say it again, it's like a mastermind of people. So I always get all these vast different answers and it really helps me. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Let's dive down a little bit more. Let's research a little bit more. And that's so to get back to the original question, I start out with GPT-4. I then move over to Claude. I then jump into Poe, open up all these different windows. And again, I'm going to see what conversation really resonates with me the most. And that's where I'm going to kind of get started, top of funnel, and move from there. I want as many options that I can dive into and select what I like most.
So ladies and gentlemen, that's how a geek would answer. This is like this is awesome. I'm taking notes here. So, you know, you mentioned one thing in particular, and that's a pretty common impediment for a lot of people. The synthetic feeling of the output. They're looking to create some content or they're looking for some sort of maybe turn it into a social post or whatever. But the output, especially if you're used to working with the models, you're like, they didn't write that. GPT wrote that, right? So this training them to be able to write in your voice is something like that's a code that I've been looking to crack for a hot minute.
Oh, and you're suggesting, let's talk about it.
Okay, good. With this video transcript, I'm going to ask you in particular, is it like a video of you doing a sales presentation? Is it a video of you kind of just like riffing with somebody? What's giving you the best result?
Sir, we have a system and a program that we have created that is really revolutionizing our business, and it's revolutionizing lots of other businesses that we're working with right now. It's kind of like you've seen Alex Hormozi absolutely blow up with these short form videos. Yeah. So yeah. I'll just give you the process right here. We'll talk about it. And if you want me to dive in deeper, that I can. And I'll train this whole model. So here's what happens. We either show people how to do this, we do it with you, or we have a done for you service. I'm not plugging my service. I want to show you the opportunity.
I'm going to want to plug your service in a minute.
That's great. So what we do is we do an interview like this with a client of ours, and we'll do it for 45 minutes to an hour about every 3 weeks. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask AI. So, for instance, let's say, Dr. Daigle, I am interviewing you. And if I am interviewing you, I want to ask you 25 questions the AI is going to come up with. So, I want to do a little bit of research on you, your topic, your audience. I want to ask some really good, 25 questions. Now, I'm going to remove my voice from the 25 questions. So, after an hour-long interview, it's just going to be you. I'm going to go ahead and I have this whole transcript of just you, and it's just you in the video. So, if someone watched this raw video, it's going to look kind of weird because it looks like you're just talking to yourself, right? I like using Descript specifically. I'm going to go ahead and take the interview, upload it. I'm going to go ahead and remove Kurt Molly from the interview. Now it's just going to have Chris Daigle in the interview, and that's it. Now, I can hit a button in Descript to take out the ums and the ahs and the pauses and clean up the audio. 4 buttons, 2 minutes, done. Now I have all this done and I have this transcript, because when you're inside of Descript, if you're not familiar with it, there's a whole transcript you edit by the transcript, which makes it really, really easy to edit. Now, essentially what we're going to do is we have this video and we have this long form post. So my next goal is before I start editing any of the videos, let me take this back. I'm going to go ahead and render the video. So I'm going to now download the video. So I have to download the video of you just talking directly into the camera. I'm going to give you 4 websites that we are building businesses on and other companies are building huge brands on. I take this video and I upload it to Opus Clips, number one.
Yep.
Once it goes to Opus Clips, Opus Clips is going to automatically make these edits, just like Alex Harmozzi. Short form, the AI is going to look for hook, angles. Is this a popular common topic? It's going to rank them from like 1 to 20, which the best short is. It's just not going to automatically cut a minute. It is finding highly useful information because of the transcript. So now the video is edited inside of Opus Clips. We use Gitmunch, which really focuses over on YouTube videos. This is going to create YouTube, TikTok, stuff like that. The third thing that we're going to use is something called clap.app, K-L-A-P, K-L-A-P app, K-L-A-P video app. And then the next one is video.io, V-I-D-Y-O.io. So if you take this one file and you upload it to all four of those sites, Chris Daigle, a 45-minute interview can turn into over 200 different raw clips. They have captions on them. They don't really have any social media posts yet, but I'm going to go ahead and get to that. But they have captions on them. But here's the rub. We can do this all in an hour. We can record the video, put it all into AI. In an hour, everything's done. But someone still has to watch through all the videos and create all the social media posts, which I'm going to talk to you about here in just a second. So what we do is let's just say, if we boil that 200 videos down to 100 videos, right? We just take 50 of them, take the crap one, just throw it. We're not even worried about editing, throw those away. Now you have 100 videos, like just from this interview right here. Mr. Daigle, 100 interviews would allow you to post 3 times a day for the entire month with just one interview. Harmozzi was posting 3 times a day when he blew up his brand, but he was spending $88,000 a month to get the content out there. So here's what happens in the second step. In the second step, we now have all this content. So what we do is we build a GPT for the clients, and I'm going to tell you how to do it right here. And it's a 3-part thing. Part one, we're going to do research on the client's avatar. Who is your perfect avatar? We're going to figure out what are the wants, what are the needs, what are the desires, what are the trigger points, what are the things that they want to know about. Here's our perfect type of avatar. Now, we don't name this avatar Wednesday or Tom. We don't have 5 different avatars. It is, here's the perfect market that we're looking for. Bucket number one. So that is going to be put in a notepad, and we're going to upload that notepad of my perfect avatar into our ChatGPT that we're going to create. So I'm just going to make this up. I'm going to create a GPT. That is the Chris Day. Go ahead.
Where are you developing? Are you using AI tools to develop the avatar, or is that from the interview with the client asking them?
You know, that's a really great question. Well, again, there's 3 buckets that we have for this. They can do it themselves, done with you, or done for you. Done for you, we'll ask the client. Do it yourself. You just fill in 15 questions, put it into the AI. And Mr. Daigle, I'm going to give you another tip here. We take these questions and answer them to build a customer persona. Then we go to Poe and we ask 5 different AIs to come up with all of the best attributes to this perfect avatar, which gives me this huge list. Then I go to Claude and say, hey, Claude, condense this down to the best of the best. Mr. Daigle, we have emotional trigger points. We have why people buy. There are so many things that the AI has figured out that, again, I couldn't do this a year ago. That's file number one that we will upload as a resource into the GPT. Here's my perfect avatar. The second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take that interview that we just had that's about 45 minutes of just you talking. I'm going to take the entire transcript, and I'm going to go ahead and put this into a notepad for a resource. But essentially what I'm going to say is, this is the persona and the speaking tone of Chris Daigle. Please analyze this transcript to write the following output in the speaker's voice tone, written under a 5th grade level, but uses the same vocabulary as the speaker, Chris Daigle, in this video. That right there, because it was a 30-minute interview, this is in your tone. Yeah. So yeah. That right there is the second file. Now, number three, that's the third file. What's your offer? You're a consultant. You interview. Whatever that is, what is your offer? And we're going to add that as the third file. That's the third bucket that we're going to upload in the GPT. Okay? So now we have who's the perfect customer, who's our tone, and what our offer is. Now what's going to happen is every time that there is a short that is made, so let's just say we go into Opus Clips. In Opus Clips, the number, the first short is going to say, hey, we chose this short. It's going to tell you why. It's the best one out of all the edits they did. They're going to go from best to worst. But they're going to say the opening hook was good. This is really relevant. Here's a framework that works really well. And then below that, they're going to give you the transcript of the short form video. So what we do is in your GPT that we just made, we take that transcript of that short form video, and we have actually, there's one other button we put in the GPT. We say, create for me from this transcript, create for me 3 Facebook headlines, 3 Instagram headlines, 3 TikTok headlines, 3 Twitter headlines, 3 LinkedIn headlines. Then give me 4 hashtag suggestions, because really we're only using 4 hashtags in all of our posts, for each one of the platforms that ties into this content. Okay, so actually this is actually another notepad, I should say, for really the fourth bucket that we upload that says, hey, for your output, you're going to create social media posts in Chris Daigle's tone, with this customer in mind, with this offer in mind, and they're going to produce all the headlines, the hashtags, and this is most important. They're going to give me, the AI is going to give me 5 posts to choose from that are written between 1,750 and 2,200 characters in your tone of voice below a 5th grade reading level. Interject fun facts when possible. So, step number 1, we record the interview. Step number 2, I put it into Descript, remove all the background noise, everything else. I have that transcript. Step 3, I'm going to build that GPT. Takes me just a couple of minutes, maybe a half an hour. Step 4, I'm going to take that file and put it into the 4 different AI tools to cut up all this content. Step 5, I'm going to take all the transcripts from each one of these short form videos, paste it in the GPT. It'll instantly give me all these headlines, all the descriptions. Long form posts get shared more, viewed more, and read more. Now we have the post made, but Mr. Daigle, here's the final part. We got a ton of videos. We now have a ton of social media post options to choose from. We still have to look through the options and post them. I use repurpose.io. Repurpose.io, every time that we have a short that's edited, we put it inside of this Google Drive folder. The Google Drive folder goes to repurpose.io and syncs with all of our social media sites, all of our business sites, all of our personal pages. The only thing it cannot publish to is my personal Facebook page. Instagram, okay. Personal, business, LinkedIn, everything. So now, Mr. Daigle, I have 100 videos from one interview. I have all these social media posts written for the individual channels. I just have to schedule it out on repurpose.io. So if you're doing regular interviews like this, Harmozy would post 3 times a day to blow up his brand and would spend $80,000 a month to do it. For under $200 a month, I just showed you how to produce double the content that he did to put into Reels. And I'll put this last thing to wrap it up. Reels are getting seen now more than anything else out there. Let me give you a perfect example. Last year, Hootsuite did a study and found that when you post organically to Facebook, a long form written post or a video, 1-2% of your audience will see it. So easy numbers, 100 people follow you, 1 or 2 people see your message. Reels, shorts, these short form videos that are a minute long that I just talked about, all of the platforms have the same type of algorithm, but it's like Spotify. They will find people who like your content. So this short form content, this is how Harmozy blew it up, can be seen by 30, 40, 50% of an audience that isn't even attached to you. You can start a brand new channel, have no followers or nothing, crank out a bunch of these 1-minute videos using AI. All of a sudden you have, again, Harmozy would spend $80,000 a month on content. You have the same strategy for under $200 a month, and it's going to take you a couple hours a week to pull off to look through this stuff. But again, this is $80,000 a month strategy that you can literally do for $200.
That's pretty incredible. We have a pretty robust content production and distribution, but this is, I'm going to have my team listen to this as soon as this is off the presses.
I have documentation on this. I'm happy to give you, I have a Loom video. Like, I am so excited about this because you can take someone who has never posted before or someone who's just not consistent. That's the biggest problem. And now you have that consistency and it's literally, hey, look, show up to an interview twice a month or do it on your own.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, and then use these processes. But I just kind of, and I'll round this out. Imagine when you and I first met. Like, we're barely editing videos at that time. Yeah. Could you imagine to put out 126 pieces of content a week? Our old, we'd have to hire, no joke, we'd have to hire a staff of 10 to 15 people just to crank out that content. Now with AI, I'm excited about this stuff, Mr. Daigle.
So this is the way that you're doing is certainly more sophisticated than we're doing it over here. But you know, one of the things that I talk to a lot of business owners and and just people who are like decision makers in business or advising businesses, and they're looking for the like anybody, they're looking for the silver bullet, right? And there's some narrative that AI is going to come in and just transform your business and now you're at the beach or whatever, right? You and I work with these models all the time and we realize the tool isn't the answer. It's the domain. It's the understanding of your own domain or your own process or your role combined with an understanding of not even a specific tool, but is there a tool that can help me with this step in my process, this step in my process, right? So I want people to understand the reason that Kurt's able to get these results is not because the tool didn't teach him this stuff. He understood the process of, like he said, 15, 20 years ago, whenever we met, the process didn't change. I need to shoot video. I need to turn the video into this. I need to redistribute the video and all that. What changed was the application of these tools over that process. So if anybody's out there and they think, oh, I don't need to know anything, I just need to know how to use the tools, that's incorrect. You need to know what your ideal outcome is. Just like with a prompt, you need to know what your ideal outcome is. And the tools simply accelerate it, support it, or help do it for you.
One of the points, if you wouldn't mind, that I want to make here that I tell people all the time with AI along the same string is next week I'm going to celebrate my 46th birthday or the unlocking level 46, right?
Nice.
And someone had asked me last year, they're like, what are some big ahas you've had along the way? And I go, oh, easy. When I was 20 years old, I absolutely knew everything. Everything. I was going to conquer the world. It was easy. At 30, I don't know, maybe I'm going to kind of check this out. At 40, now with a kid, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm just trying the best I can every single day to be the best person that I can. But what I have realized is this. The older that I get, the better questions that I ask, the better results that I receive. So if I can find a tool, and I know, like for the past 15 years how we've done marketing, if I can ask better questions on what that tool can do, that's where it opens up everything. So many people are like, okay, so ChatGPT is going to change my life. No, but if you know how to ask the right questions with it, it will open up so many things for you. But the tool itself isn't going to change your life. How you engage with it will. So I want to give you a perfect example because this is how fast stuff is moving. And you alluded to this earlier. Essentially is this. So I have a video out there right now that's one of our best ads that's running. It's an AI avatar of my face, right? I'm standing in my office and I'm basically, it opens up and says, hey, this is kind of crazy. This isn't me. It's not my real face. It's not my real voice. Heck, none of this is real in the video, except I did shoot this in the office in the burbs. 1 year ago, I was using something called Sentiva. And for me to do an AI video, if you recall, was $5,000. It would require me to be in a studio with a green screen to send over a bunch of information for $5,000. Wait 3 months, they drop their price to $1,000. Wait 6 months, HeyGen comes out with a $20 offer. If I would have got excited and started to buy the Sentiva, I would be so out of date. So what I look for, Mr. Daigle, is I look for what are the current tools that are out right now that are good reviews. I want to edit short form video. It's going to give me a whole bunch of different options that I'm going to be able to edit through and at least just kind of take a look, what is this doing? But I'm not married to a custom solution because the prices are coming down so fast and things are moving so quickly. Learn the skills that it's easy to pick up the yes. tools versus, hey, I'm looking for the tool that I think I have to pick up that'll change my life. So it's like fantastic. A good mechanic, don't blame your bad tools.
Yeah, this is a fantastic distinction. So kind of the way that I narrate that when I'm talking to people is I tell them that you need to start thinking in AI. And what I mean by that, it's not, so there's a lot of people out there, and hell, I love it. We call it internally the candy, right? When somebody shows like this clever little, oh my gosh, like the TikTok thing where somebody does something cool with the tools, right? You're like, never thought about that. We call it candy. It's fun, but it's not very fulfilling because as an individual, you can watch all those videos, but that doesn't translate into you. The real goal isn't for you to watch all these videos and see how these tools work. The real goal I would submit is for an individual to understand how to be the person who can create the candy, right? How to be the person who's thinking about those processes and go, oh, that's a combo of HeyGen, 11 Labs, and ChatGPT, and then that's done.
Absolutely.
When you can get to that point as a user of these tools in business and in life, whatever, you don't need to like study what other people are doing. You automatically start by default saying, oh, is there a tool that can do this? How could I have GPT help me with this? Like you start asking those questions rather than looking for the tool. You start thinking about the process and points at which the tools can come in. Now, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is a common use case is content creation, right? Now, I have been reticent prior to my use of generative AI to take the time, and I don't have anything to say, you know, like all of those things that prevent people from creating content. Of all the places where I could apply AI into my business, why do you feel that the content application is important for the listeners?
One of the biggest inventions of all time that revolutionized the world was the printing press.
Right, yeah.
And then you start having newspapers that come out, and you have these big organizations that would buy ink by the barrel. I heard a saying a long time ago is you never want to start an argument with someone who can buy ink by the barrel. But now that's not the case because I know the big newspaper here in Austin, Texas, I used to live right across the street from it, is shut down. They move because it all goes online. Well, now we take a look at content creation. I can create more content. Listen to this. Joe Rogan, we were talking about this early. Hey, how long's your podcast? You're like an hour. This dude does 3 to 4 hour long podcasts. Who does 3 to 4 hour long podcasts? But people are listening. And then if you remember during a certain time of the season, and I don't want to mention the name of the season because sometimes you get blocked, CNN came out with an article that basically just tried to blast him.
Yeah.
But Joe Rogan has a bigger coverage because of his podcast than what CNN can reach. It used to be, but this cable news network can say anything. Now right. He's like, no, I have free speech and I can say whatever I want. So I talk about ethical propaganda. I want to get inside the content game so my ethical propaganda is seen by more people. Politicians, I used to run a U.S. presidential election campaign. They put in a dollar, not to make $2. They put in a dollar so they can raise 10 cents. The economics don't make any sense, but the propaganda gets them on the stage to get voted on. So why should we start using more and more content? Newspapers have gone out of business because of online content. Brands are producing huge content right now. Many influencers, micro influencers are building micro communities. These are the people that are seeing the biggest growth. So let me kind of show you where the trend's moving overall. If we take a look over in China, they have something called WeChat. WeChat's kind of like Twitter, but you can do everything on WeChat. And the government really helps control that. Like control like your finances, where you transfer money to, who you can watch influence of, watch products, buy stuff, whatever. But in WeChat, and they've already seen this trend before that's moving to the US, these micro influencers are building this trust. It doesn't have to be with this trust of this huge organization anymore. These micro influencers build trust. There's a lot of opportunities with the micro influencers to endorse your product or you become a micro influencer. But now with this thing right here, you don't have to buy ink by the barrel. You can literally create your own reality. So, and I'll wrap this whole thing up. If I'm pumping out 3 to 4 social media posts a day on these short form videos, these reels, and these reels are seeing a new audience. And I'm posting long form content that I usually didn't before because it wouldn't reach anybody. Yeah. Well, now I have all these curious people looking at my content. So I have long form content, readers are buyers, what Dan Kennedy said. I have all this video content, just like you're doing the podcast. Someone listening to our voices for 45 minutes is huge. So if I'm producing more content, now I'm going to stray on this one just a little bit. I'm not saying I do this. I call this ethical propaganda. But I don't know if you know this, Mr. Daigle. People on the internet lie. And they say it with such confidence that people are like, it must be true. So I would never lie. But if I'm confident in a message that I am saying over and over and over in a very consistent way that I'm able to help people, heck yes, I want you, when you see this thing right there, you smile and go, I know that's Kurt Molly's belt. You're talking about tacos in Austin, Texas. My buddy Kurt's in Austin. He's always eating tacos because that's part of my brand. I want more content because I can create my own ethical propaganda for pennies of what we used to be able to do when we were buying ink by the barrel. And now I'll get off my soapbox because I am super passionate about this.
No, that's a great way to look at it. Let's say I have a small business and, you know, like I'm wearing a lot of hats in the e-myth style, right? As a small business owner. It would be very easy for me to say, oh, content. I don't have time for content. Somebody's got to sweep the floors, wash the bottle, like all that stuff has to happen. But the reality is that that content out there, the more of that content that's being produced in an ethical propaganda style is in the reader or the viewer's mind, that's a credibility token. Oh, I'm going to go to that restaurant because I keep seeing all of their content. I'm going to contact that lawyer because obviously she knows what she's talking about, even if they're not watching your content. So anybody out there who's like, well, I got bigger issues to worry about with my business than creating content, perhaps, but following a method very similar to what Kurt has shared with us today, you're talking about a couple hours a week, maybe a Sunday afternoon. You knock this stuff out and you've got a month's worth of content that is not, it's not just like, oh, look at me. I'm creating content. It's look at me. I'm saturating my marketplace with my face over and over, my brand over and over and over and over again. And that's how people buy. They don't see you and go, I want that product. They see you. They see you again. They see you again. They hear a message. 7 to 17 contacts is where the initial like activity, the purchase or the outreach from the prospect occurs. And if you're not taking swings by getting these content pieces out there in this simple manner, how long is it going to take you in a traditional way to get those 7 times in front of that prospect?
I would like to give a strategy, if you wouldn't mind. I know I've given one. I'll give another one. This is used by a multi-billionaire. There's somebody by the name of Arianna Huffington. She's not a great writer. She became a billionaire by hiring not great writers. All they did was aggregate information. That's all they did for the Huffington Post. So when people are like, I don't have anything to write about, I say, how many news channels are online and on TV? Hundreds. They all give different opinions. How did Arianna Huffington become a millionaire or a billionaire? Arianna Huffington took news headlines, curated them, and gave her opinion and then linked back over to the original article. That's it. So one of the things that I do is I set up Google News alerts for very specific things like AI and marketing. So for example, a Google News alert came in the other day that said the Harvard Business School recently did a study that said it's over 15 different touch points that people require typically with short form video before they make a buying decision. Doesn't that align with what I've already been talking about? So shouldn't I get online and say, look what the Harvard Business School said about my stuff or said about the strategy that I've been talking about. This is the proof. This edifies your ethical propaganda, but this gives you stuff to talk about all day long. And people will say, well, why do they want to hear from me? People just resonate with different types of personalities. That's why there's so many different news channels out there. It's interesting because, Mr. Daigle, you've known many of these people for many, many years. We've seen lots of trajectories in people's online businesses. Let's be very open. The most opinionated people, when they're passionate about it and record the content about them being passionate, typically around a lot longer versus people who are only start, stopping, and running ads, not building a brand. We may never see those friends again unless we go to certain parties, but we've never seen their face online again because they gave up on their brand by being kind of too nice. And sometimes, I'm not saying you have to be controversial, but by putting your name out there with lots of opinions, you start to attract a better audience than just brand people who don't know anything about you.
So if I have an auto repair shop, if I am a dentist, if I have a massage therapy school, this applies to me regardless. It's agnostic of the industry or the business or the...
Well, yeah, because more, it's kind of interesting is the algorithm with these different, with the algorithm on all these different sites with short form video. Again, it's TikTok really kicked this thing off and everyone's copying TikTok, but it's like a Spotify or a Netflix. They're always looking for new content and people are always, as you're scrolling through your phone, they're always looking to be shown new content. So it doesn't necessarily have to be through the people that you follow. So let me give you an example. As an auto mechanic, there may be some stuff that you do that is absolutely not worth your time to do that you can show somebody how to do, like how to clean your spark plugs on a regular basis. Easy how-to video. What people love to hear, I'll give you two tips here, is listicles. Here are the three things I would never do if I was going to repair my car. People love the negative. Here are three false things about blinker fluid that is just blah, 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 right? People love that. Or the other thing they do is they love tips that can help them out their daily lives. Inside of one of TikTok's internal documents that was shared publicly at the very beginning of last year, basically said TikTok is looking for content that is positive, uplifting, and helps people overall in society through different economic turns. Meaning, if I'm a massage therapist and people have sciatica pain and I show people how to do a stretch that they can do to relieve that pain, that's one video. Now I can go look up sciatica online. What are some of the most popular articles? Write me a TikTok script in my voice for my target audience with my offer, but use this content from this popular article on sciatica. All of a sudden, AI is now making you content. So it's giving you more ideas and even the script to do it. All you have to do is just be willing to open it. And I want to kind of conclude with this one. I believe that there's going to be a lot of people out there. They call them prompt engineers now. I think that name is going to be completely changed. But there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, you're looking for someone who can create facelift content for you or take your podcast and distribute it or do video. We call AI, instead of like an AI tech stack, they're like AI employees, because most people, you still have to hire an employee to look over the output. But now you can hire one or two people that help to QA your AI. And you literally just say, hey, guys, I want to do this. Who can I hire to do it? Can you guys figure out the tools? Tell me how much you would charge me. I'm going to record a video once a month. Could you guys do everything else for me? You don't need to have 10 or 15 people, maybe one at like 5 hours a week. And that's it. Find somebody who's highly interested in it. They'll take care of the rest for you.
So that's interesting. And it leads me to ask this question, which I don't always ask on the podcast, but what are the opportunities you see for somebody who maybe they're entrepreneurial or they want to have the side hustle or whatever the case might be? They're interested in AI enough to listen to this. They're intrigued to use the tools. How do they monetize this skill as a side hustle or as a new career?
You know, it's really interesting that you asked that question. I was talking about my aunt recently, and my aunt many, many years ago, when she used to have the satellite on the outside of her clothesline, and like she would get this internet thing and she started participating on the internet. This is before like AOL CDs, any of that stuff, right? She was renting out this thing called a bulletin board system. Yes. And then she just kind of got this hobby of painting light switches, and that took over more than anything else. We're like, you were there before anyone else. She's like, I had no idea. In my opinion, at this time, if you are looking for a part-time income, one thing that you can really consider is to be an affiliate, right? Just to whatever you're interested in. So let's say you're interested in woodworking. And for you to be able to do some videos on woodworking, to have AI give you some ideas, to help create some faceless videos, what can start to happen, you can really start to see that these micro communities can really be a huge difference. So either you can, hey, I would like to be a creator to give recommendations. By the way, Mr. Daigle, you know, there's a lot of people we know in affiliate marketing, e-commerce marketing, people who have different types of brands. You don't buy this stuff at Best Buy, but there's an entire influencer section at Best Buy to buy mics, headphones, cameras, lights. So if you want to do that, AI can really help out with those processes. The other thing is what I would take a look at is if you are somebody with a full-time job and you're interested in this AI type of stuff, sign up for Google Alerts. Go to Twitter. Somebody I like to follow, I believe you know him as well, is Matt Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. Yep. He has blown up in the AI space, yep. Matt Wolf. And he talks about a whole bunch of different tools. And if I were in your shoes and I was working a full-time job that I wanted to get out of, I would follow some of these influencers that talk about these different AI tools. And honestly, sometimes you're just going to kind of hear this, but you're going to find an AI tool like I did that said, oh my goodness, you can edit these videos. You can build a customer persona. Actually, I think I can make a business out of this, because the other trick is I also go to Poe and say, with these five tools and this type of customer, what product or service could I create?
Yes.
So it's giving me ideas. So I would say plug in early to play with it. Follow some influencers. Play with the stuff that you're really interested in, because that's going to make you want to dive down deeper into it. And then go to ask Poe, I like this. Here's the type of people I want to work with. Here's the tools that I'm working with. Is there a business here? And I think you'd be really surprised at some of the answers you would get if you don't know how to already apply the technology.
So you don't even need to know the direction you're going. You can just simply go into these things and say, tell me what I need to do next on this. You know, I want to make some money with AI.
Let's go back to what I said before, because I think this is where a lot of people really miss the beat. And I think we're kind of saying the same thing. It's not the tools, it's the questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you realize that AI is really made up of this language model, you're not talking to someone else, anything that you want to ask for, as long as it's safe, ethical, whatever, you can do. Now with AI being attached to the internet, just perfect example. Actually, I'll give you a perfect example here. We both have families. Is, you know, typically I would look to see what's in my cabinet and I would see what's in my fridge and I would go to Google and be like, oh, I want to make lasagna. Now I have to go through all these SEO articles where they're selling all this other stuff. I have to sort through stuff. My brain has to sort through stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what the best article is in the first 10 pages of Google. And then it's taking me so much time. But with AI, I literally can go, and I've done this before. I go to my pantry, I take a picture of my pantry, and I say, hey, can you take a look at my pantry, make a meal for two people that can make under 15 minutes with the ingredients that you see here? I also have these five vegetables in my refrigerator. What are four things that I could make that would be low fat, good calorie, and ideally have low carbs? And all of a sudden, it doesn't give me 50 options. It writes out exactly what I want to do. Now, if I'm playing with that because it's cool, now if I ask better questions, hey, AI, could you help me develop an app that someone could take a picture of their pantry to develop low carb recipes? Yes, we could. What are the next steps? Because I'm asking questions. It's not the tool. Well, the next steps would be to hire a developer with Python. How do I hire a good developer with Python? I'm asking the question again. AI is going to tell me the questions that I should ask. How do I quality control something like that? It's going to tell me what to do. And also, now you've known this because I've known you for a long time being an entrepreneur. Most entrepreneurs, they talk about, this is what I get super excited about. Hey, how did you learn how to do XYZ? It's not too hard. Once you get started, you figure it out along the way. With AI, you get instant answers to figure it out. You don't have to wait to call a friend or go to something. Like, that's what I'm most excited about. Get involved in something that interests you. Dive down that rabbit hole. Start asking your buddy AI, hey, where are different ways I can monetize it? And now you have so many ideas to choose from. Literally, you just have to implement the idea. And now you have an AI buddy that will tell you the exact next step that you need to do if they can't do it for you. And last point. Now with AI starting to really be hooked up to the internet, now you're going to be able to say, hey, what are the top five websites that are ranked with more than 20 five-star reviews that are short-form video? List them here so I can analyze them. You go walk away. 3 minutes later, you come back. That just saved you a couple hours worth of time. So start playing with that stuff. I'm obviously excited. I couldn't do this stuff a year ago, so I could talk about this all day long. I love this stuff, sir. Absolutely love
it. So a couple of things for the listeners for sure. There's nothing that Kurt has talked about today that is technical.
No,
it's simply using like getting in front of these tools and starting to play around with them. And the good news is that most of these have either trials or free versions. Now, how you get good at this stuff is exactly what Kurt said. You get started and you figure it out along the way. If this stuff was designed to be for technical users, they would be limiting their total addressable market for their product considerably. They are designing these generative AI tools to be used by grandma, by eighth grader. It doesn't matter if you're tech savvy. It doesn't matter. And the way that Kurt just described that, now listen, we've had some prompt engineers on here who do some incredibly sophisticated stuff with the human language combined with these models. But what Kurt's talking about is you can go on there and you can play absolute dumbass. Hey, I don't know much about starting a business. What should I know? It gives you an answer. Huh, that's interesting. I don't know about that. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. That, my friends, that's a version of prompt engineering, right? You don't need to go study this for 10 hours or anything like that. And speaking of, are you approached by individuals in your peer group or family that are asking questions such as, how do I get started?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's really interesting because we've provided a whole bunch of this information, especially over the last year. We've created documents that give us the 50 top AI tools. We've done 5-day challenges. There's a lot of information. And I think what I found overall, and the reason that I bring this up, is we see a lot of tire kickers, meaning what interests me the most, because all of this is moving so fast. So one of the things that I suggest to do is to follow some influencers, kind of like you mentioned, like on TikTok, you start watching this and all of a sudden you get these different types of prompts and find the stuff that really interests you. And it's moving so fast that I can't stress this enough. You finding, and I'm just going to make this up, you finding like a short form video solution that you just really like, or you like coding video games. Perfect example. You like coding video games. If you stick with this for the next 6 months to a year, studying who are the influencers? What tools are they using? How can you start to build this? I'm not joking. In a year, you'll be one of the leading experts in that field of AI. That's how fast. Incredible. So for example, if I wanted to lose 50 pounds, because I think looking at my face in here, I got a little dad bod going on. I got to lose 50 pounds. I could become a short form AI expert in less time than it takes for me to lose 50 pounds. Both is going to change my life. One's going to pay a lot more. But if you think about it, I can be an AI expert in short form video, a legitimate AI expert in the next year I could maybe lose 50 pounds if I just stopped eating, period. But if I wanted to do it the healthy way, right, I can literally become an industry leading expert in less time. And I want to touch on one other thing you said. Many of these tools are changing so fast. The $5,000 tools or $1,000 tool. In our price point, what we've seen in our online game for years is a real estate, stuff like that, lead in product, $2,000. We've seen that for years. And then it got cut down over the last really 10, 12 years to $1,000. And then it was $597. And then we saw $297. Today, we see a lot of $47 a month, $27 a month, $17 a month. Most of these AI tools are pennies on the dollar, much cheaper. It's easier to hire someone who loves to be the expert with those types of tools. The tools are minuscule. It's hardly anything. But if you find the right person who can ask the right questions, then it's easy to have some of these other tools. So to kind of round this out, let's say that I'm asking AI for some ideas. Oh, this camera idea for a keto app. That sounds interesting. I don't know anything about programming. How do I hire a programmer? You start to figure out how you hire a programmer. You go down that road. And then once you kind of figure this out, kind of one other tip, is a mutual friend of ours, Mike Filsaine, had mentioned this. Anytime he believes he has to do a task more than twice, he just creates a GPT or shows a teammate on how to do it. So now what ends up happening is once you start building this up and you're like, oh, I got to do some coding on this. This makes sense. Oh, I can hire a coder. Oh, I can hire someone who oversees that coder. Oh, I can just feed this other person ideas. Oh my goodness, now I have two employees. I just feed the ideas over here. This person makes everything happen. A year ago, I couldn't even be able to hire these people, talk to these people, even know what to do next. But it's an easy way that you don't have to be sweeping the floors, washing the bottles to create a whole new business in AI.
It's incredible stuff. Kurt, if people want to dive in more on what you're doing, can you give us a like a comprehensive understanding of the ways that you're supporting individuals in their AI education right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I have Blockbox Social Media, which essentially is we're an agency that we help people with proven offers to scale their traffic. And you can check us out online at blackboxsocialmedia.com. We've had that for 15 years. We can help people with TV, radio, billboards, whatnot. Now, yourad.coach is a website where we essentially show people lots of different things. We show them three different types of buckets. Bucket one, do it yourself. So we're showing a lot of people right now, for example, hey, here are 50 AI tools. If you want to, I'm happy to give you the link. No opt-in. You can go straight for the tools. And essentially what will happen is we're just going to give you a whole bunch of different ideas of the tools that we're using. So we like to show people tools. The second thing that we have is we have something that we call content labs. So from time to time, what we'll do is we'll review very specific tools. So for example, people were really interested in this short form video. So what we ended up doing is we had an AI content lab over the course of two sessions where we showed people, here's all the tools that we use and here's how to use those tools. And everything that I mentioned, how we do the short form content, everything, this is what we did in the class, how to build the GPT, right. How to do all that. That's what we taught in the 2-day class. And then what's interesting is let's just talk about short form video. Lots of people want to learn how to do it. Lots of people want to see over my shoulder of how we did it. But then the thing is now that we have one 45-minute interview, 200 videos to look for, somebody has to watch all the videos, write the post, and schedule them out. You can hire your own people to do that. Or some people are like, Kurt, you just figure it out and I just show up. So in the third bucket, we have some done for you AI services that just full transparency. It's everything that I described to you. We have figured out how to hire the right people. We figured out the right systems to automate a lot of this process. My face doesn't have to be all over the process of making the content. So this helps make a sellable business down the road because it's systems, yeah, processes that produce cash. So literally, you would see behind the scenes of how it happens. So yourad.coach can get you started if you're interested in any of those three buckets. And if you have show notes, I'm happy to give you some of these links, yeah, that people can check out.
I do.
And I don't have the links memorized at the top of my head, but if you want to see some of my great AI stuff, I'll send you that to check that out in the show notes.
I do. So, and just to reference that done for you, this is the equivalent deliverable that Hormozy was paying $80,000 a month for. Same.
Oh, I have an entire presentation that literally shows it's Hormozy in four steps, right? And I think I may turn this into a webinar. Step one, Hormozy basically says, hey, I started off with 10,000 people. Let me show you how I grew to over 10 million followers in over 24 months. What he started doing is he started posting three times a week. He hired two video editors that took out the ums and ahs for his videos so he could post three YouTube videos a week. Great. That helped him out just a little bit. Step two is another video. He's like, hey, let me tell you what I paid Grant Cardone, $125,000. To learn, and I'll just tell you for free. Grant Cardone said, where's your reach out on social media? You posted once in the last 3 days. Grant was posting 3 to 4 times a day. So what Hormozy did, we have video number 3 from Hormozy where he's on stage and says, look, we went 3 times a day. Over a 6-month period, it gave us 40 times the reach versus what we were doing just twice a day. With him posting 3 times a day to just 3 social media sites, we show you how to post to 6, he would be creating 80 pieces of content a week. At 80 pieces of content a week, he pays right now in the fourth video that we show people, he pays $80,000 a month to have people create that content for him. Now, that $80,000 a month, though, gets him the equivalent reach of $1.5 million in ad spend because there's so much eyeballs seeing all the content. It's created a brand, but it creates a platform. Even if he stopped creating content, you, yeah, know, there's still tons of eyeballs because there's so much out there. Hormozy does it for $80,000 a month. I can show you how to do it on your own for under $200. I can show you how we can do it for you for under $3,000 a month, which literally, we produce 126 pieces of content a week, not 80. We can show you, instead of taking 24 months, how to do the entire process in 6 months. And all you have to do is show up twice a month for 45 minutes to record content, go over your stats. We take care of everything else. The offer is called an IQ test, Mr. Daigle. I have a Loom video. I'm going to show you how this works, and I would love your feedback. But yeah, this is the one thing that we're like, this is in my, so I'll round this whole thing out. When you talk about opportunity with AI, a year ago, I was really thinking about how do I change my business, because me coaching Facebook ads is fun, but everyone thinks that they know what they're doing and they don't, but it's a commodity now. Now, because of AI, I had an interview like this with a friend of mine, and I use 6 different tools to cut up a bunch of these videos. The more that I talked about it, people are like, I love that strategy. The more that I gave the strategy to people, just like this happened to me 15 years ago teaching Facebook ads, people are like, can you teach me how to do it? We've taught so many people how to do it. They're like, can you just do it for me? AI literally created an entire business that we could sell as a division that I didn't even know existed a year ago. And we are here because we asked the right questions, and I can't tell you how exciting it's been, people have signed up for this program. Yes, sir. And you saw some of my content being posted because of that. Yeah. That's what got me on this podcast.
That's true. 100% true.
Because I haven't been posting in a while.
Yes. But I hadn't seen the content until I saw the content. Yeah. So for anybody listening, like the whatever barrier or impediment or obstacle that you think exists, it's not as big, as challenging, as tough as you might think it is. It's really, listen to a couple episodes of this podcast, use the tools that the experts are saying, just go out there and play with them, and you will start to make the connections. You will start to, and next thing you know, you're going to have your friend saying, hey, can you show me that AI stuff? The boss is going to come in and say, who knows AI? Oh, you know AI, come here. Like the opportunities that will present themselves just because you are, and guys, listen, we're still early, right? Like 2023 was the awareness. Oh my gosh, what is this thing? 2024 is a year of adoption. So like there are companies and most of the businesses that I'm hearing about and that we're talking to, they're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to tell them what to do or to show them how to do it. They don't even know where to get started. They don't know the questions to ask. You can be that Sherpa for these companies. If you were to go and learn this stuff from Kurt, you could instantly go to anybody that you know that has a business and say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I've got a social media agency. It's comparable. Have you ever heard of Alex Hormozy? Yeah, we do. Alex's like, they're going to say, what? That's priceless. And for you to learn this stuff, I'm not exaggerating. Even if you've never played with ChatGPT, start on a Friday evening, take the weekend. By Sunday evening, you're ready to start that next week empowered, literate, enabled with AI. So, Kurt, incredible stuff. Anything else? Like, what about on social? Like, obviously, you're on social, but is there a particular platform or channel where you tend to share most of your thoughts?
You know, sir, it's almost like you set this up. You didn't ask me that question earlier, but this is great. So we've been talking about a lot of AI content overall, right? Talking about a lot of short form content. And that's how, every time we see each other, I love giving you a big hug. I love seeing you in person, but I just hadn't been posting a lot. I'm a new dad relatively, and it's just been really busy. So the short form content has really helped me out. Well, the thing is the reason that I won this belt right here, and I promise I'm going to answer your question directly here, is because we have something called ethical propaganda. This is actually a paid marketing strategy. And I'll give you the high level view of it here really quick. And what it is, hey, we want to build belief with people, acronym for the belt. We want to engage with them. And then, of course, we want to attract a lead, BEL. We want to bring in a lead and then transact. Well, thing is, Mr. Daigle, if people produce a lot of content, we can run this belt method strategy where we set up this retargeting strategy of anytime someone watches a video, engages with a video, goes to your website, engages with whatever, we set up all these retargeting pools. We take your most important video and your most relevant videos, and for $1 a day, we retarget those videos here in the middle of your funnel, right? These are people who have watched any of your videos. So if we're putting out a whole bunch of social content, it's free to set up your retargeting audiences. Everyone should do that. I've been teaching that for years, but now because of AI, it's much more relevant because people have even more content. The second thing that you can do is you can start running a dollar a day strategy, and I can show you how to do this. You can look me up on Facebook or Instagram. The reason I answer that question in a long way is because if anyone goes to Facebook or Instagram and just looks up my name, Curt Malley, CURTMALY, or looks up Your Ad Coach, they're going to see one of these short form videos. And Mr. Nice. Daigle, as soon as they watch a short form video, now my retargeting strategy for the belt, they're going to see more of my content. But what you're not going to see from me is buy my stuff, hurry, buy my stuff. You're going to see all this different type of content. So Mr. Daigle, if you're open to it, I would take this content. I would be happy to give it to my team. We would cut up all the content so it would be meta, just what we've talked about here. I'd be happy to run it on my socials. I'll give it to you where you can change the logo. You can run it on your socials. But now we'll have easily 50 to 100 clips from this episode that ideally the people will be like, hey, this was an interesting conversation. And they look up your podcast to drive even more traffic. It helps me. It helps you. AI helps the tool overall. So we'd love to collaborate any way that we can. And man, I don't know if you can tell, this stuff excites me, Mr. Daigle. I'm fired up about this stuff.
I was glad that we had a chance to do this. I'm actually going to take you up on that. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for attending this episode. Kurt's the real deal. You can't wing it and answer the questions with the nuance that he did. This is something that you need to be doing. There's a lot of thought leaders out there on the subject. I think that what Kurt has shared with you, that whether you do it yourself or done with you, done for you, it's not going to be that difficult. The learning curve is going to be brief. And next thing you know, you are positioning yourself in your industry, in your company, whatever, as a thought leader in about 2 hours a month, according to Kurt's plan. So, take a look at the show notes for all the links that we'll be including, and look up Kurt on Facebook. He's an entertaining poster, to say the least. So find him. Kurt, any closing comments?
I think the biggest thing is one of the things I'm looking at with a couple of other my associates is actually kind of starting an association, a lot of it around kind of AI. And the reason is because a lot of people have a lot of different beliefs. And I believe that we all have an ethical responsibility to make sure that this is done right, because it can really manipulate people and do some harm. And there's a lot of fear that's going on right now that's in the public. Yeah. But I don't think this is like the same fear of, oh my goodness, we can't have cars in the street because the horses will run over them. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We really need to take a look at how can we all embrace this. So for perfect example, my daughter is 15 months old. As she gets older, I'm going to show her how to use GPT like a calculator to help be a really great resource for her. I want her to help make decisions with her, not for her, so she's not relying on a machine. But now she doesn't have to open up the refrigerator and say, hey, Dad, make me something to eat. She'll be able to figure that out. But of course, we're going to have some guardrails on it as well, too. So at least start taking a stand. Start thinking about the things that are really important to you. Start figuring out some tools. You may have a completely different career in a year because of the rabbit hole that you go down with AI, and it can be a really positive 100%. One. Don't get strayed with the negativity. Figure out how you can apply it for yourself. Make as much money ethically as you can right now to protect yourself from anything else that's going to come. But I will say this is in closing. There's a good friend of ours, Eben Pagan, and he gives this speech. So I always like to give him credit for this. But he talks about, you know, the difference between the brick phone and, you know, the iPhone here, right? The difference between the original brick phone that we're all used to and the iPhone is like 23 years. ChatGPT is 1 year old. It is the interface that allows you to work with AI that, because no one knows, very few people know the coding of how the LLMs work, blah, 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 blah. You had to be like a mystic to get into there. But now with the chat functionality, that opens that up to everyone. So Daigle, when you say this is the early day, I can't stress enough. People are waiting on the sidelines. Those people, that's totally fine. But the people who dive in over the next 6 months to a year, you can create what literally almost anything superhero that you want or get you out of any situation, because it is only a little over a year old.
Beautiful. Kurt, thank you so much. And everybody, we'll be presenting again in the show notes. You'll find all the links that Kurt's talked about, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Using AI at Work. Don't forget to subscribe for more conversations about how to use AI at work. And a special thank you to our sponsor, Chief AI Officer, for empowering businesses with AI education and training. Visit their website for a free AI readiness assessment and AI strategy guide to help you get started using AI at work. That's www.chiefaiofficer.com. special thanks to our producer, Evan DeSaulnier, for making this episode possible. Follow us on Twitter at the handle Using AI at Work, and visit www.usingaiatwork.com for free resources to help you harness AI in your role.